You all today. I managed to arrive just as the rosary was starting this morning, got to kind of settle down, spend some time with the Lord and pray before sharing with you this afternoon. Just to share a little bit about who I am. Some of you might have come into contact with me before. I spoke at Southampton Celebrate a couple of years ago and I am very involved with the Celebrate conference. I'll come back to that. But I grew up in a Catholic family. We came into contact with Charismatic Renewal when I was about 8 years old at the New Dawn Conference in Walsingham. We got involved with the House of the Open Door community in Worcestershire, where we lived at the time. And then I joined Zion Community at 18. I spent 7 years with them, and including studying for a degree in youth ministry. And then I worked as a school chaplain for 2 years before moving to SPEC, which is the Youth Retreat Centre for the Diocese of Westminster. And then for the last 3 years, I've been the regional youth coordinator for Celebrate and all the regional weekends that happen around the country. And if you're really clever, you can add up all those and work out how old I am. But and alongside working for Celebrate part-time, I volunteer with various other projects within Renewal as well. And I also work at my local Sainsbury's just to have some regular money coming in. The theme of the talk that I was given today was living kingdom values, how our everyday lives can be transformed into opportunities for witness. Now, I reckon there are some people sat here today that could probably teach me a lot about what it means to be a witness in everyday life. But I'm going to share some thoughts with you, and I would like you, first of all, just to think, when I say that, living kingdom values, if you had to sum that up in one word, what would that word be? And I want you to turn to the person next to you and share your word. It's difficult. It can't be summed up in one word, but what's the first word that comes to mind, okay? And I'm hoping that we came up with words, things like love, humility, truth, trust, tenderness, kindness, forgiveness, joy, peace, generosity, integrity. These are all different kingdom values, and that's what I want to talk to you about and share with you about today. Because I was thinking about this from my own experience, how our everyday lives become opportunities of witness. Now, as a young adult, living in a community like Zion Community is quite an obvious witness and working for the church. You know, when you arrive at a school with a team of people to do a school mission, it's quite obvious that there's something different about you and the way that you live. And the same working at a youth centre, welcoming groups on retreat. And it wasn't hard to be different because I was doing it alongside other people. But I never thought that I would end up working in a secular environment like Sainsbury's. It happened by accident, totally by accident. And the Lord has taught me so much through my experience. I took a year sabbatical in 2015. And towards the end of the sabbatical, I walked part of the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And during that time, I really felt God saying to me, you just need to get on with life. I was like, okay, Lord, what does that mean? What does that look like? And I realized that I needed a flexible part-time job that would allow me to still work with all my projects and things that I was doing that didn't pay me, but that would pay the bills. And I thought, why not a supermarket? Why not Sainsbury's? So one night after I was back from Spain, I had a little look on the computer, had a look what vacancies they had, and I saw an advert for a delivery driver. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could definitely do that. It was flexible, part-time hours. So I applied about 10 o'clock on a Tuesday evening and thought nothing at all would come of it. And then I got a phone call the next day and had a telephone interview. And they said, can you come into the store on Saturday for a face-to-face interview? I was like, okay. And at the face-to-face interview, he said, great, we'll let you know in the next 7 days. And I thought, fine. And the next day, I got the phone call offering me the job. And do you know what? 5 days, it wasn't long enough for me to question whether this was the right thing or not. I was just like, it's got to, it's all just fitted into place. It's got to be the right thing. And I remember being really nervous and thinking, oh, are they going to like me? Am I going to like anybody that I work with? Will I make friends? It's like starting a new school, isn't it? Starting a new place of work. And it became quite obvious quite quickly that they didn't really know how to deal with me. They didn't really get me. Some of them noticed that I didn't swear, and so they stopped swearing around me, which was quite nice. I work with a lot of blokes, by the way. It is mostly blokes in my department at work. I got told very quickly after a couple of days that they were taking bets to see how long I would last in the job, because the two previous females they had had as drivers had all quit within 2 weeks. And I was like, right, I will not be that woman. And my stubbornness kicked in and I gritted my teeth and I was like, I can do this, I will do this. And do you know what? It's a very, very physically demanding job, but I absolutely love it. And all those blokes that don't really know and still don't really know how to deal with me in lots of ways, they've kind of become like surrogate uncles and fathers and brothers to me. And I don't get any special dispensation for being a girl, but they do look out for me in their own kind of little ways. And I realised very quickly that I was being given an opportunity to live my faith in a way that I had not experienced before. And this was because I was being called on to be Jesus for the people that I delivered to. So there's one lady that we delivered to, and I turned up one morning, and she seemed quite distressed. And I asked her what was wrong, and I got the whole like life story, how her husband had died a year before, how her daughter did the shopping online for her but never came to visit, and all of this kind of stuff. And so I helped her put the shopping away, and she asked me to read her post for her because she couldn't understand what it was saying. And I just did it. You know, it was very obvious that the delivery was the only real human contact that she had regularly and each week. And we have like timings on our deliveries. And originally she was down to have about 7 or 8 minutes. I think after a couple of weeks, she was up to about 25 because I would just sit with her and talk to her and answer her questions or help her. And it happened a couple of weeks in a row that she would ask me different things. And there was another lady, I can't remember her name, but I know her son's name is Leo. And I turned up at their door and there was like no furniture or anything in the house. And it turned out that they had literally just moved in that day and they were waiting for the carpet to come and then the removal van to come with the furniture. But they had ordered the shopping so that they could definitely eat. And I got chatting to her about her son who was running around and trying to help but not really helping. Turned out that he has quite severe autism. And we just connected about that. And I said, oh, how's he doing with the move? You know, because people with autism really struggle with change. And just the look in her eyes to speak to someone that understood what she was going through as well. And there was just continuous little moments like this that God was providing for me, realizing that my desire to work for him and to serve him was being fulfilled in a very different way than I ever expected by working at Sainsbury's. And in Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis tells us that Jesus' whole life, his way of dealing with the poor, his actions, his integrity, his simple daily acts of generosity, and finally, his complete self-giving is precious and reveals the mystery of his divine life. And whenever we encounter this anew, we become convinced that it is exactly what others need, even though they may not recognise it. And I think that's what really struck me about a lot of the guys that I work with. From the moment I started, I, like never before, felt a massive burden to love them and to pray for them. I wanted them to know God's love. I wanted them to know that there's more to life. And that there were answers to the searches, to what they were searching for, even though they didn't really understand that they were searching anyway. And this has been hard. This has been a hard part because at times my motives have been questioned because many of them have never experienced unconditional love before. Many of them have never had people in their lives who are particularly encouraging and loving without seeking anything else in return. And I'm all about bringing out people's potential and making people feel valued and listened to. After about a year of working at Sainsbury's, they asked me to apply for their development programme to become a team leader. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster since then. It's not been easy, and I feel like I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And, you know, I'm still figuring out what it means to lead in that environment. I've always been, before that, a Christian leader in a Christian environment. But suddenly I was faced with the question of what does it mean to be a Christian leader in a secular environment? And I didn't have an answer. And I'm not sure I still do. You know, what kingdom values do I model to them? How do I protect myself from entering into workplace gossip? What sets my leadership apart? Can they see that my leadership is informed by my faith? How do I love them well? What does humility look like in that context? And also, how do I reconcile this drive for profit at the heart of the business that I work for with the detachment from material and worldly things at the heart of my faith? And that's been a difficult one for me as well, because I'm driven by something different than what my business is driven by and what other people are driven by within that, which is profit and power. And that's not what I'm driven by. And that can be hard at times as well. But there have been glimpses of glory along the way. Being open about my faith has allowed others to be open about their faith as well. So every so often, randomly, someone will mention that they go to church as well, or that they pray and that kind of thing. And it hasn't been really the big things that have made a difference. It's been the small things, like asking not to be put scheduled to work during the Easter Triduum so that I can go to church. It's having the courage to tell people that I pray for them, and also that I pray for parking spaces for my van. they really do laugh at me when I talk about that. And it's also being cheerful when I start work at 4 a.m. in the morning, because although I would much rather be still in bed asleep, life's too short to be grumpy and down. You know, once I'm up, I may as well be cheerful and bring other people up as well. And it's also about accepting them exactly where they're at, listening to them, affirming their questions and doubts. And more often than not, the God that they don't believe in is not the God that I believe in either. And they're really shocked by that, because there's so many misconceptions and misunderstandings about Christianity and about God. And I say to them, I was like, well, that's not the God I that's not the God I love. That's not the God I follow. And they're like, really? Wow. And But they have so many questions. My best friend at work, Ben, we became friends because we got chatting and he asked me which of us would be celebrating Christmas more fully. Would I be celebrating Christmas more fully than he would because I was going to church and he wasn't? That was like the first conversation, full-on conversation we had. And the follow-up to that, wait for this, was, why do you go to the doctors if you believe God can heal you? So you could tell that he had been like thinking up these really tough questions for me. And he came at me on the attack. But as soon as he realized that he couldn't offend me and he couldn't rile me up and get me angry with his questions, he actually warmed to the conversations that we used to have. We used to sit and chat for hours and hours about life, about purpose, about God, about faith, all these different kinds of things. And it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I think a lot of our daily witness is the way we speak to people. Do we uphold the dignity of the other person in the way that we treat them and speak to them? Because actually, in my workplace, I have to say that a lot of people don't do that. And that is something that sets me apart, that I always try and treat the other person with dignity in the way I speak to them. The other part of this is, when we're placed in a difficult or unfamiliar situation, what's our response? Is it prayer or is it panic? Because if we're honest, our normal response is probably panic. But we can train ourselves. God wants us to be people of prayer and for prayer to be our first response. So I've trained myself in certain things here. So when I get in the car, as soon as I pull off, I pray a Hail Mary for protection in the car. That's just ingrained now in my nature. And the other one that's come alongside with that is that when I see an emergency vehicle pass me by, so like a fire engine or an ambulance or something, I always pray for the people that they're going to go and serve and deal with. Rather than being like, oh, I wonder what's happened, I'm just like, Lord, just go with them. And I have a friend who every time they travel prays before they get on a plane or a train and prays that God would open up conversation. And they've ended up chatting to a lot of people that they've been sat by and even praying for them on the plane or on the train. So because God opens doors when we trust him, there's no need to panic when we're in difficult or unfamiliar situations, because God will open the doors. Be a people of prayer whose first response is to trust him. And he's brought about a lot of opportunities at work for me. I didn't seek out being a team leader. I didn't want a job with responsibility. That's why I joined Sainsbury's. But responsibility kind of found me. And I was invited to apply. And then I was asked to lead some of our inductions as well for new starters. So now I am one of the people who welcomes new colleagues and sets the tone for their life with the company, which I really love doing, Because it's about integrity, it's about me being me in every situation with every person that I meet. And it takes time to build up trust, and sometimes you have to be a bit vulnerable with people as well. So it's about being the one who listens, who remembers what someone's son is called and asks after them when they haven't been very well. Because I am convinced that it is relationship that transforms people. It's relationship that transforms people's hearts and opens it up to the love of the Lord. And that means that it's long haul. This is not just a quick fix. Relationship is long haul. And if we're true to ourselves, we know that we will be in it for the long haul with a number of people in our lives. Because ultimately, we know that what we have to offer is the answer. Again, going back to Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis, He says that we have a treasure of life and love which cannot deceive, and a message which cannot mislead or disappoint. It penetrates to the depths of our hearts, sustaining and ennobling us. It is a truth which is never out of date, because it reaches that part of us which nothing else can reach. Our infinite sadness can only be cured by an infinite love. Again, that sense that people are searching for something even if they can't quite put their finger on what it is and articulate it. And we may never know how our behaviour and our actions affect other people. Because I work at Sainsbury's, I tend to shop at Sainsbury's. I did anyway, but I now get a discount, which is a bit of a bonus. And one of the guys that works on the customer service department, he's called Steve, and he often looks after the self-scan checkouts, you know, the ones where you go and beep it through yourself, which I tend to prefer when I'm only getting a few small things. And so we would say hello to each other, we'd pass the time of day. And then when I started doing the inductions, I found out that Steve is our union rep in the store, and he would come and speak to all the new starters about the union. And the other day, last week, he was getting ready to talk to a group of new starters that I was inducting. And he asked me, we got chatting, and he asked me about what I do outside of work and what my plans are. And I was telling him that I do youth work. He said, oh, what kinds of youth work? And I said, well, mostly within the church. And his response really, it really shocked me. And he just said, oh, I knew there was something different about you. And it was a really humbling experience, quite emotional experience for me, because I had known him for over 2 years, and we had never had a conversation about faith up to that point. And yet God had already provided and paved the way for that conversation, not from anything that I did intentionally, but just from who I am as a person when I'm trying to live my life with the Lord. And it was massively humbling to hear that from him. And then he went on to talk about which church he goes to and how he's involved with the young people there, and just opened up a conversation. Now, at this point, you could be thinking, wow, she's amazing. She does all these crazy stuff and is such a good witness at work. Well, it doesn't always feel like that. Plus, this talk is the highlights talk, okay? Otherwise, it'd be a bit boring for you to listen to me. But so often, I make so many mistakes. I'm still human. I feel so frail and so helpless sometimes at the weight of sadness in the world and in the people that I come into contact with. And I pray often, probably not often enough, that anything that is of God would stay with them, and anything that is of me would just be washed away. Because God never says it's going to be easy. It's not what it's about. But he does give us some advice and guidance, and we can find so much wisdom in Scripture and in those that have gone before us. And one of my great heroes of the faith is Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II. And, you know, the church has such a great treasury of writings and documents about evangelization and witness. Not just Evangelii Gaudium that Pope Francis has written recently, but going right back to the Second Vatican Council, to Pope Paul VI in the 70s, and to John Paul II. And he wrote a document called Redemptoris Missio, the Mission of the Redeemer. And in it, he talks about missionary spirituality. And I think that really, when he was writing this, he was talking about to the charismatics. Because he uses very charismatic understanding of spirituality and of missionary spirituality. And he says that this missionary spirituality has four characteristics. So I'm just going to explain it very briefly. But the first characteristic is being led by the Spirit. He says, this spirituality is expressed first of all by a life of complete docility to the Spirit. It commits us to being moulded from within by the Spirit so that we may become ever more like Christ. It is not possible to bear witness to Christ without reflecting his image, which is made alive in us by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. This docility then commits us to receive the gifts of fortitude and discernment, which are essential elements of missionary spirituality. So do we take time to listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives, in every conversation? Do we have the courage to act upon the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we feel or hear? Discernment and fortitude. We listen and we act. It's like Jesus in John 4 with the woman at the well. Have you ever had a word of wisdom to give to a stranger? And were you courageous enough to give it? Because that's what Jesus did. Complete docility to the Holy Spirit, that we are constantly listening for where God is leading. Secondly, he talks about living the mystery of Christ, that we need intimate communion with Christ, he says. That the mystery of the incarnation and redemption is described as a total self-emptying, which leads Christ to experience fully the human condition and to accept totally the Father's plan. Mission is born from prayer. In prayer, we discover our true selves. We discover or rediscover who God is. And then when we know that God is good and we are loved, we can begin to trust where he's leading. We can begin to trust those promptings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And often he can lead us to places that we'd rather not go. It can be painful and hard. It will demand surrender and an emptying of ourselves. But that's only so that we can be more completely filled with him and share him with the world. Thirdly, John Paul II says that we need to love the church and humanity as Jesus did. That those who have a missionary spirit feel Christ's burning love for souls and love the church as Christ did. That the missionary is the universal brother, bearing in himself the church's spirit, her openness and interest to all peoples. And that this interest takes the form of concern, tenderness, compassion, availability and interest in people's problems. So John Paul II talks of a civilization of love, and Pope Francis talks about the revolution of tenderness. And as I said before, it's relationship that transforms people's hearts. And in that, we have to be intentional. We have to choose to love them. And that's what I found I really have to do with the guys that I work with. I have to choose to love them anyway. And are you going to choose to love that person that stole your seat on the train? Are you going to choose to love that colleague that always leaves the cups in the sink to be washed up? Are you going to love your boss even when they ask you to do things that aren't in your job description just because they don't want to do it themselves? Are you going to choose to love in that moment? You know, St. Therese, the little way of love. Little things done with great love. And the other part of this is that God's heart breaks for the things in the world that are not as they should be. That's really important for us to know. That God feels the pain of the disunity, the disease, the sadness in the world. But the thing is that God's heart is so massive that we wouldn't be able to cope as a small, tiny human being with all of that heartbreak. So what God does in his infinite wisdom is he breaks each of our hearts for different things, for different people, for different situations, so that we are called to go out and to show his love in that particular way. So my friend Christine, she's a trained nurse. She works in the NHS and her heart is for the poor. She went and spent 4 months with the Mother Teresa sisters in Calcutta. She's spent time in Africa. She's trained as a nurse. She just loves people who are just broken and poor and sick, and she wants to look after them, and that's where her heart pours out. My friend Em, her thing is unity. The disunity in Christ's church brings her to tears. And for me, I had a very, very powerful experience at a retreat of the Holy Spirit, an experience of God's love for those that don't know they're loved. And that's what my heart breaks for, people that don't know they're loved. And so each of us have something. Some of you may have already discovered it in your lifetime. Some of you may not have. But God has something that he's going to break your heart for to show the world his love. And the final characteristic of this missionary spirituality is that the true missionary is the saint. The call to mission derives of its nature from the call to holiness. And the renewed impulse of mission demands holy missionaries. It's not enough to update pastoral techniques and organise and coordinate church resources. What is needed is a new ardour for holiness. And the characteristic of every authentic missionary life is the inner joy that comes from faith. In a world tormented and oppressed by so many problems, a world tempted to pessimism, the one who proclaims the good news must be a person who has found true hope in Christ. You see, a lot of people like the idea of journeying closer to God and growing in their spirituality, but are not so taken with this idea of holiness. But actually, the two go hand in hand. They can't be separated, because the journey of faith, the journey towards God, is a journey towards holiness, because he is holy. It's not optional. It's not optional. In our journey towards God, holiness is not an option. It's what God's grace does inside of us, brings us to this point. And someone explained this to me, that really holiness is just obedience. Obedience to God and obedience to the will of God. And obedience is not a very, it's not a very liked word. People don't like the word obedience. But actually, I really love etymology, like the root of words and stuff. And obedience actually means he who has heard. So what we're saying when we're obedient is that we have heard and we are choosing to do. And again, it comes back to that surrender. Surrender to the will of God, conformed to his will. And that's what's going to bring the kingdom. We pray it all the time in the Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how the kingdom's going to come. When his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, that's the kingdom. That is how the kingdom's going to come. And it's not just about resigning ourselves to it either. It's about joyfully choosing it, whatever that looks like. And so this missionary spirituality is not necessarily exactly about what we do. It's about who we are. It's about our attitude to life, our attitude to the people that we encounter. And the way that we live, allowing the Holy Spirit to permeate every part of our life and our heart, until it's truly no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this will look different for different people, and God will call us to different mission grounds and different seasons in our life. Even as I speak to you about my experiences at Sainsbury's, God is calling me into a different season, and I'm leaving in June to go and do what he's asking, or what I think he's asking. You know, so even as I stand here speaking to you about the experiences and what God has taught me, actually my missionary spirituality set constantly asks, God, is this still what you want? Is this still what you want? And then when an opportunity arrives, okay, God, what's the next step? And he's calling me into something else for a while. And sometimes I don't understand what God is doing. And that's okay. I can't see the big picture sometimes of a situation that has happened or a decision that he's asking me to make. But within it, there are two quotes that I always come back to that bring me comfort. And the first one is, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are. And that roots me in the goodness of God, that he is faithful, that he is provider, that he's not going to leave me, that he is saviour and redeemer. And then the second one is based on Proverbs 3. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. One of the words that was shared earlier before lunch was about not holding nothing back, not being afraid to give everything. And it's this thing in our world where we're so timid to step out in faith if we don't know what's going to happen and what the consequences are. And actually, do you know what? I'm human. My brain is tiny compared to God's. I'm glad that I don't need to understand everything in the world because it would be too big a burden. And I recognise that God knows best. Now, I fall into questioning that quite a lot, but I know at the depth and the core of my being that God knows, and God knows best, and my life is in his hands. And they free me up, these quotes, this comfort frees me up from the burden of responsibility for the world, because that burden is too big for me to bear. It puts the ball back in God's court for a further outpouring of his spirit, his grace, his mercy, his strength. Whatever I'm going to need to fulfill the mission that he is placing in front of me. And that's exactly what we're going to pray for now. So I just invite everybody to, if you've got pens and paper, just to put those away now. And we're going to go straight into prayer. And this is why we did the collection and stuff beforehand. I just invite everybody to become still and to close their eyes. And there were a few areas that when I was praying and preparing this talk, there were a few areas that I felt that God wanted us to focus on. The first one being courage and fortitude. So what areas in our lives do we need more courage? The second area was discernment. So hearing God's voice, hearing God's promptings, making godly decisions. And I felt that, I could be totally wrong, but I felt that there was someone in particular going to be in the room today that God might be asking something new or a big change. And if you think that that's you, I'm going to really encourage you to go for prayer ministry today. So someone that is particularly feeling like God might be asking either something new or a really big change in their life. And then about breaking our hearts. Do you know what your heart breaks for on God's behalf? What has God broken your heart for in this world? Is it the poor? Is it the young? Is it the lonely? What is it? Do you know? Do you want to know? God, we thank you so much for bringing us together today. We thank you that when two or three are gathered, you are present with us. And we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. That you would come and move amongst us and pour out your Spirit on each of us individually, but also on all of us as a group. That we would be envisioned for what this world could look like if your kingdom would come. If we were to live kingdom values, if we were to surrender to your will in every moment, what would the world look like? How would it change? And we pray, Lord, that you would move our hearts, that you would convict us of any times or opportunities, situations where we haven't acted in the way that you would want us to act. Lord, would you just bring them to mind now that we may repent of them? And we pray for a fresh outpouring of courage, that we would be people of conviction, people of faith, people of prayer, that we would not be afraid, not worried about what others think of us or what others say about us, but that we would always stand for you and we would always stand for the truth and the gospel, the good news of your love for all of humanity. We thank you, God, that you have a purpose in mind for each of us. No matter our time in life, you still desire to work through us and have us serve and love others. And we pray, God, that you would break our hearts for the things in this world that are not as they should be. For the broken, the sad, the lonely, the sick, the poor, those on the margins. Break our hearts, Lord, that we would desire to love and to serve your people. That we would see the world through your eyes and cry out for the Holy Spirit to come and change things. For the Holy Spirit to come and work through us in word, in deed, and in prayer. Lord, may we have the courage to empty ourselves, to be filled with you, so that it is no longer we who live, but you who lives in us, you who ministers to the world through us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and move in this place. you, God, more of you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come speak to people's hearts, Lord. And we're going to stay in this prayerful manner, but if the prayer ministry teams would like to take their places, we're going to have some quiet worship. But just stay with the Lord in your heart. Invite more of the Holy Spirit in. Allow the Lord to bring up those situations where maybe you've missed an opportunity to share your faith or to stand up for truth and for kingdom values. Maybe you need to go and receive the sacrament of reconciliation. Maybe you need to be prayed for more courage. Or maybe God has revealed to you what he's breaking your heart for, and you want to ask him for the grace that you're going to need to work in that area, to know what he's asking of you. Or maybe he's just inviting you to sit in his presence and soak in his love.